power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Christine. Well, good morning, everyone. For those who don't know me, my name's Brendan McLaughlin. I'm the senior minister here, and can I extend to you a very warm welcome. It's great to see you here this morning, particularly if you're new or visiting, and great to see you made it if you were out raging all night last night. One of the problems with having little kids is they don't know that you're out till, you know, midnight the night before, and they still get up at the normal time. But anyway, we're looking at Psalm 150 today. Now, what I've tried to do just with the last 2 weeks, just a short holiday series. We're not looking at the book of Psalms. We're just looking at two Psalms to look at a bit of more, take a bit more of a topical approach to it. So last week we got a great sermon from Mike on Psalm 1, where the book of Psalms kicks off. It's talking about the righteous and the wicked. This week we're looking at the end of the book of Psalms, and it finishes with a note on praise. So we're going to be looking at this psalm in more of a topical way. We will be looking at parts of the psalm, like an exegetical sermon usually looks at each line. We're going to be looking at parts of this sermon, but in the context of this topic of praise, how Christians should praise the Lord. And I'm going to be honest with you, I think praising God is something we don't do very well. Now, I'm not talking about just we here at EACC, or we Anglicans, or we Australians. I think Christians all over the place don't praise very well in general. And I think the reason is that we don't understand praise. That's the reason we don't do it well. We think praise is a little foreign, a little alien to our culture. You know, we almost are just running through the motions when it comes to singing in church. And we feel a little weird, sort of, you know, just sitting there saying things like, "Oh, Lord, you are mighty." You know, it doesn't come naturally to us, does it? But praise, believe it or not, is actually part of our culture. You and I, every day, are praising people and things all the time. And so my goal for this sermon is for us to take this ability we have to praise and to channel it appropriately, to channel it where praise truly belongs. And let's face it, if anyone in this universe truly deserves praise, it's God, is it not? But more importantly, God demands our praise. He demands that we praise him. So we better make sure we're doing it, and we better make sure we're doing it properly. But how about we try and, you know, we ask to enlist God's help in this as we begin. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, of all that is in this universe, you truly deserve our praise. You are the Almighty, all-powerful, all-splendid, all-righteous, all-good, holy creator of the universe. And while I don't want to speak for everyone here, Lord, many of us really don't know how to praise you. So we ask that you'll teach us this morning about praise. Teach us the why, the how, the what, and the when of praise, so that we can be the kind of Christians who truly praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you've got a sermon outline you're given on the inside of your service sheet. That will be helpful. But we're going to begin by looking at the very first line of the psalm, which starts with these words: praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, we all know the original Hebrew for this phrase, praise the Lord. That's not a question. That's a statement. We all know the Hebrew for praise the Lord. Can someone yell it out for me? No one. Oh, the only person that knows can't yell this morning. George has woken up with no voice. He mouthed hallelujah. That's right. Hallelujah. You know that word. And the word hallelujah is an imperative. It's a command. So God is commanding us to praise him. And look, to praise something or someone is to acknowledge its greatness, to recognize its awesomeness, to express its impressiveness. But this leaves us with a bit of a problem here. And the problem is that God is commanding his people to acknowledge his greatness. Now, why is that a problem? Well, imagine if I were to stand up here this morning and command you to praise me. All right? I was to say, I want you to praise me for my, well, rugged good looks. For my, what are you laughing for? For my keen intellect. For my eloquence of speech. I want you to praise me for my sporting ability or my singing ability or my perfect kids. My, you know, what would you say if I were to stand up here and demand your praise? That's right. You'd say, you're either, you know, an egotistical jerk or an insecure little prat who desperately needs the compliments of others. Yet this is what God is doing here, isn't it? He's commanding people to praise him for his greatness. And there are no small number of people throughout the ages who have had a real problem with the word hallelujah. But the question is, should we? Should we have a problem with God demanding us to praise him? Now, my short time here at EACC has led me to believe that we here have a healthy fear of the Lord. We have a healthy fear of God. So most of us are probably sitting there thinking, well, I shouldn't feel uncomfortable with that, should I? But here's the bigger question, why? Why don't you feel uncomfortable with God demanding praise when you would be with me? Well, let me submit to you why I think this command is actually a good thing. And it basically comes down to this. God is different to humans. He is different. He doesn't need compliments to compensate for some sort of deficiency in him. But further than that, the rules of humility that belong to us creatures don't apply in the same way to the Creator. And the reason for that is that God is the most holy, powerful, righteous, loving, intelligent, caring, forgiving person in the whole universe. There is no one greater than him. But if God were to deny his infinite worth, then he'd be implying that there's something more valuable than him in the universe. I'll say that again. If God were to deny his infinite worth, he'd be implying that there's something more valuable in the universe than him. And that, my friends, is idolatry. And that's something that God is not guilty of. Idolatry. So when God commands us to praise him, he's actually doing the best thing for us. Because he's telling us to... If he goes and tells us to praise something other than himself, then he's leading us to praise something of lesser value than the highest value, which is God. If we praise anything other than God, we're not focusing on the best. That's not a good thing. God tells us to praise him because he is the ultimate in everything. And so in commanding us to praise him, he's actually doing us a favor. He's showing us where infinite worth is to be found. Why do we praise the Lord? Because he is the best thing in the universe to praise. Well, let's face it, he's the only thing in the universe worth praising, isn't he? Well, the next question is, how do we do this? How do we praise the Lord? Now, like I said, praise is the outward expression of what we truly enjoy. Or to put it another way, praise is the verbalization of our inner feelings of delight. What we feel down here, we verbalize. But I'm going to go a step further. We praise what we delight in because our enjoyment is incomplete until it's expressed in praise. Our enjoyment of something is incomplete until it's expressed in praise. Now, let me explain what I mean. I don't watch much sports. I've only been to a handful of games in my life. But there's one sporting event I really wish I had gone to. And that was the 2006 World Cup qualifying game between Australia and Uruguay. Soccer. Now, we hadn't been in the World Cup for final since 1974. And this final qualifier was played at ANZ Stadium in front of 82,000 fans. Now, late in the first half, Mark Bresciano scored a goal, which is hard to come by in soccer. Now, I don't actually remember the goal, but what I remember is when the camera panned across the crowd and you saw 82,000 Aussies screaming at the top of their lungs, jumping up and down. I'm amazed the stadium didn't crumble. You just don't get sporting events like that. Like, you don't get crowds like that in Australia with that kind of excitement. I would have loved to have been. It would have been awesome. But imagine if, as those 82,000 fans were filing into the stadium, handing their tickets over, imagine if the ticket collector said, "Oh, look, welcome. We're really glad you're here. We want you to enjoy yourself tonight, but I'm afraid the rules are no screaming, no yelling, and no jumping out of your seats. You've got to sit there quietly." Now, do you think those 82,000 fans would have enjoyed themselves as much if they have to follow those rules? Not on your life. Not on your life. Part of enjoying something is expressing our feelings of delight. So for guys, when you see, you know, a beautiful-looking sports car driving down the road, or girls, a lovely dress or a beautiful pair of shoes, all right? Our enjoyment of those things is not complete until we get to express those feelings to someone else. And in the absence of any companions, we sometimes just whisper it to ourselves, don't we? That's what praise is. It's our enjoyment or our delight welling up inside us and overflowing in expressions of it. So how do we praise the Lord? We allow our delight in Him, our enjoyment of Him, to overflow in outward expression. This is where it gets a little bit tricky for us. Because many of us don't know what we praise the Lord for. I mean, do we praise Him for His rugged good looks? His sporting ability? What do we praise the Lord for? Look, quite simply, we praise the Lord for anything that takes our breath away. For anything that makes us go, "Wow, God. You are brilliant. You are awesome." Now, admittedly, this is going to be different for different people. But let me give you a few examples of what makes me go, "Wow, God, you are awesome." He's hoping this works. There you go. First is God's creation. Next time you see something breathtaking in creation, think about the fact that this world didn't just happen. All right? It was put together by a creator. And that creator knew what he was doing, didn't he? Doesn't God's creation just take your breath away at times? Brilliant. Or then there's creation's power. And I apologize for those listening to this on our website. You're missing some amazing photographs. This is from a place called Chaipu. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's a famous surf break. But look at that wave. It's like the ocean has just fallen away. Next time you see something incredibly in God's creation, incredibly powerful, remember it is God sustaining the world, causing it to do what it does. Not going forward, though. We're having troubles, are we? There you go. Does not the awesome power of God's creation just make you say, "Wow, God, you are incredible"? Or as the psalmist puts it in verse 2, praise Him for His acts of power. Well, then there's the wonder of human birth. Did you know that the single cell that is created, this is having a bit of difficulties, there you go. The single cell that is created when a human sperm enters a human egg splits into two, and then those two cells split into four, and those four into eight, eight into 16, 32, so on and so forth. Some of those cells go on to become brain cells. some blood cells, some bone cells, some muscle cells. And all those cells know exactly what they're doing and exactly where they need to go. Doesn't that intricate process make you say, wow, God, you are absolutely brilliant. Do you want to see some more wonders of God's creation? Some more things that take your breath away. Check this out. Wait a minute. How did that get in there? That's not supposed to be. That's better. Technology this morning. This is where we live. Planet Earth. Now, I'd love to show you a comparison of how big you and I are compared to this, but as you and I know, we are but a speck compared to the Earth. It is huge. It is absolutely awesome. I'm told that when this photograph was first taken back in the 60s, people were blown away by it. Or as the psalmist says in verse 1, praise him in his mighty heavens. But let's go even further out, shall we? Check this out. This is the comparative size of some of our solar system's planets compared to our sun. See that tiny dot down the bottom? Earth. And we're not even a tiny dot on the planet Earth. And remember, God put this together in his back shed on day 4. Doesn't that make you say, wow, God, you are huge? But it gets even better. There's the comparison of the size of some of our sun compared to some other suns. Now, you may not be able to make out the small notes down the bottom, but it says Jupiter is about 1 pixel in this size. Earth is invisible on this scale. God made that star, Arcturus. But it gets even more amazing than that. You know what this is, don't you? It's the Milky Way. And our humongous sun is, again, but a speck down the bottom. The diameter of the Milky Way is 100,000 light years. That means travelling at the speed of light, it will take you 100,000 years to go from one side to the other. And it contains somewhere between 200 to 400 billion stars. They haven't been able to count them. But it gets even better. In the 1920s, Edwin Hubble discovered that the Milky Way is only one of about 200 billion galaxies in the observable universe. The observable universe is over 92 billion light years in diameter. That's 100,000 light years. The universe, 92 billion light years. Doesn't that not blow your mind? This is what we praise God for. When we see how incredible God is, it wells up inside us so that we cannot help but blurt out how amazing our God is. Do you want to see something even more amazing? Do you want to go even further out into the far reaches of God's awesomeness? Yes? No? Yes? Of course you do. All right. Something even more impressive than this. God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Have you ever just sat and contemplated what Jesus went through for you? Let me tell you, it's more than just the physical torture of death. I chose this picture from The Passion of the Christ for a reason. The problem with the movie, The Passion of the Christ, is it focuses so strongly on the physical nature of Jesus' death that what's really going on behind the scenes is obscured. But on the cross, Jesus took your punishment for sin. Now you know what that is, don't you? It's eternity in hell. Jesus took eternity in hell on his shoulders on the cross. But he didn't just take your punishment. He took the punishment for every believer who has ever lived. We're talking millions, billions of eternities in hell. Clarifies it a bit, doesn't it?
God took the equivalent punishment of billions of eternities in hell and focused them on one man across one 6-hour period. Why? Because he loves us. That's what we praise the Lord for. When we meditate on the incredible love God showed for us, it wells up and overflows into words of praise. This leaves us with one final question. When do we praise the Lord? Simple answer is, all the time. We should be constantly reflecting on God's incredible power, holiness, righteousness, kindness, grace, and love. All these things should automatically make us say, "Wow, God, you are incredible." Our praise should be a regular part of our prayer life. On my prayer diary, the very first entry every day is praise. I want to be finding things every day to praise God for. Because if I can't find something new, something big to praise God for, then I'm in danger of dropping God from his status of the all-powerful, all-splendid, totally unique, all-glorious and self-sufficient creator of the universe to just, well, being like me. Not very impressive at all. We should praise the Lord all the time. But the thing that the psalmist reminds us of in this psalm is we should be praising God in particular in song when we gather together. Verses 3 to 5 talk about praising God with song, with trumpet, the harp, the tambourines, etc. But if you're anything like me, singing in church can sometimes feel a little manufactured, a little fake. We just stand and do what the people next to us are doing. We're not really focusing on praising the Lord. This is me anyway. Sometimes I enjoy the music. Sometimes I enjoy the voices of those around me. Sometimes I might even enjoy the singing itself. But the question we need to ask ourselves is our singing an overflow of our delight in God? Or is there a disconnection between our heart and our mouth? If there is, here's what I've found helps. When we stand to sing, focus on the words. Meditate on the words. Reflect on who God is and what he's done for us in the words of the song. Because when I do that, my singing is all of a sudden meaningful. No longer is singing just something I do in church. I'm actually praising God with my singing. So next time you hear words like what I'm about to read for you, meditate on them. Meditate on these words. Be thou my battle shield, my sword for the fight. Be thou my dignity, thou my delight. Thou my soul shelter, thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. What awesome words. How about these ones? Could my zeal, that's my effort, could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All these for sin could not atone. You must save, and you alone. They're perhaps my favourite words of all time. But how about these ones? The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. That's praise. Folks, we have an awesome God. An awesome God. And while we are commanded to praise him, we shouldn't need to be, should we? Whether we are singing or praying or just encountering something new that blows our mind in this life, we should allow our enjoyment and our delight to reach its completion by praising the Lord. Verse 6 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Everyone, praise the Lord.